Oscar Wilde short stories. Copyright Burlington Books 2001. Lord Arthur Savile's Crime. Chapter 1. It was Lady Gladys Windermere's last reception before Easter, and there were more people at Bentinck House than usual. 6 cabinet ministers were there. All the beautiful society women wore their prettiest dresses. Princess Sophia of Karlsruhe stood at the end of the picture gallery. She was talking bad French loudly and laughing at everything that was being said to her. Elegant ladies were talking with violent radicals. Popular evangelists were mixing with eminent atheists. It was one of Lady Windermere's best nights. Princess Sophia stayed until almost 11:30, a new record for her. Once the princess had gone, Lady Windermere returned to the picture gallery and began to talk to the Duchess of Paisley. Lady Windermere looked wonderfully beautiful tonight. She had large blue eyes and long, curly, golden hair. They gave her face the look of a saint, mixed with the fascination of a sinner. She was a curious psychological study. She had discovered an important truth early in life, which was that nothing simulates innocence better than an indiscretion. She had changed husbands 3 times. However, since she had never changed her lover, society found nothing scandalous about her. She was 40 years old and didn't have any children. She was filled with a passion for pleasure, which is, of course, the secret of remaining young. Suddenly, Lady Windermere looked around the room and said in her clear contralto voice, "Where is my palm reader?"
"Your what, Gladys?" exclaimed the Duchess.
"My palm reader, Duchess. I can't live without him these days, you know."
"Dear Gladys, you are always so original," said the Duchess.
"He comes to read my palm twice a week," continued Lady Windermere, "and it is very interesting. I must introduce him to you."
"Introduce him?" cried the Duchess. "You mean he's here?"
"Of course he is here. I wouldn't think of giving a party without him. He tells me that I have a pure psychic hand, and has also said that if my thumb were a little shorter, I would be a confirmed pessimist and would probably have entered a convent."
"Oh, I see," said the Duchess. "I suppose he tells fortunes."
"And misfortunes too," answered Lady Windermere. "For example, next year I will be in great danger, both on land and at sea. It is written on either my little finger or in the palm of my hand. I forget which one. So I plan to spend the year in a balloon."
"But predicting the future is tempting Providence, Gladys."
"My dear Duchess, I think that everyone should have their palms read once a month. That way they will know what they shouldn't do." Lady Windermere looked around the room again. "If someone doesn't find Mr. Podgers at once, I shall have to go and look for him myself."
"I shall go, Lady Windermere,"
said a tall, handsome young man. He had been standing nearby, listening to the conversation with a smile on his face. "Thank you very much, Lord Arthur. However, I don't think that you'll recognize him."
"If he is as wonderful as you say, Lady Windermere, I will recognize him instantly.
Tell me what he is like, and I'll bring him to you." "Well, he isn't like a palm reader at all," said Lady Windermere. "I mean,
He isn't mysterious or romantic-looking. He is a little fat man, and he has a funny bald head and big eyeglasses. He is something between a country lawyer and a family doctor. People are so confusing. All my pianists look exactly like poets, and all my poets look exactly like pianists. You know, I remember inviting a notorious conspirator to dinner last season. His bombs had killed many people. Would you believe he looked like a priest and told jokes all evening? I was very disillusioned.
Lady Windermere looked past the young gentleman's shoulder and exclaimed,
"Ah, here is Mr. Podgers. Now, Mr. Podgers, I want you to read the Duchess of Paisley's palm. A Duchess, you must take off your right glove."
"Dear Gladys, I don't think that this is quite right," said the Duchess, as she took off her glove.
"Nothing interesting ever is," said Lady Windermere. "I must introduce you. Duchess, this is Mr. Podgers, my palm reader. Mr. Podgers, this is the Duchess of Paisley. If you say that she has a longer mountain of the moon on her hand than mine, I'll never believe in you again."
"Gladys, I'm sure that there aren't any mountains of the moon on my hand," said the Duchess. "The Duchess is quite right," said Mr. Podgers, as he looked at the little fat hand with its short square fingers. "The mountain of the moon is not developed. However, the line of life is excellent. Could you bend your wrist? Thank you. Three clear lines. You will live to a very old age and will be extremely happy. Duchess, ambition? Very moderate. Your line of intellect is not exaggerated. Now, let's look at the line of art or love."
"Oh, please be indiscreet, Mr. Podgers," interrupted Lady Windermere.
"Nothing would make me happier," said Mr. Podgers, as he bowed. "But I'm sorry to say that I see a great permanence of affection combined with a strong sense of duty." "Continue, Mr. Podgers," said the Duchess, looking very satisfied. "Economy is not one of your Grace's virtues," announced Mr. Podgers.
Lady Windermere began laughing hysterically at this. "You have told the Duchess's character very well, Mr. Podgers. Now you must read Lady Flora's palm." A tall, thin girl with blonde hair approached them from behind the sofa. She extended her long, bony hand.
"Oh, a pianist," said Mr. Podgers. "I see an excellent pianist, but not really a musician. Very reserved, very honest, and with a great love of animals."
"Quite true," exclaimed the Duchess. "It's absolutely true. Flora keeps 2 dozen dogs at our country house. She would convert our London house into a zoo if her father permitted her."
Lady Windermere turned to Mr. Podgers. "You must read some more palms for us. Come, Sir Thomas, show Mr. Podgers your palm." A genial-looking gentleman came forward and extended a thick, strong hand with a very long third finger.
"You have an adventurous character," Mr. Podgers began. "You have had 4 long voyages in the past, and will have 1 more. You have been shipwrecked 3 times. No, only twice. You will be in danger of a 3rd shipwreck on your next journey. You are a strong conservative, very punctual, and with a passion for collecting unusual objects. You had a severe illness between the ages of 16 and 18. At 30 years of age, you inherited a fortune. You have a great aversion to cats and radicals." "Extraordinary!" exclaimed Sir Thomas. "You must also read my wife's palm."
"Your second wife's," said Mr. Podgers quietly. "Your second wife's palm. I shall be enchanted."
However, Lady Marvel firmly declined to have her past or her future exposed. Lady Windermere could also do nothing to convince Monsieur de Koloff, the Russian ambassador, to even remove his gloves. Many people seemed afraid to approach the funny little palm reader. This was especially true after he told Lady Fermor, in front of everyone, that she didn't like music, but she loved musicians. It was generally felt that palm reading was a dangerous science that should only be practiced in private. Lord Arthur Savile, however, had been watching Mr. Podgers with great interest and was filled with an immense curiosity to have his palm read. He crossed the room to where Lady Windermere was sitting and asked her if she thought Mr. Podgers would mind reading his palm.
"Of course he won't mind," said Lady Windermere. "That is what he is here for. But I must warn you that I shall tell Sybil everything. She is coming to have lunch with me tomorrow. If Mr. Podgers discovers that you have a bad temper, or a tendency to gout, or a wife living in Bayswater, I shall certainly tell her all about it."
Lord Arthur smiled and shook his head.
"I am not afraid," he answered. "Sybil knows me as well as I know her."
"Ah, I am a little sorry to hear you say that. The proper basis for marriage is a mutual misunderstanding. I am not at all cynical, my dear boy. I have merely got experience, which is the same thing."
Lady Windermere turned to the little palm reader.
"Mr. Podgers, Lord Arthur Savile is dying to have his palm read. Don't tell him that he is engaged to one of the most beautiful girls in London, because that appeared in the Morning Post a month ago. But be sure to tell us something nice. Lord Arthur is the son of a dear friend of mine and is one of my special favourites."
But when Mr. Podgers saw Lord Arthur's hand, he went curiously pale and said nothing. His body shook as if he had been given an electric shock. Sweat began to appear on his forehead, and his fat fingers became cold and clammy. Lord Arthur noticed these strange signs of agitation. For the first time in his life, he felt fear. His first impulse was to run from the room, but he controlled himself. It was better to know the worst, whatever it was, than to be left in this horrible uncertainty.
"I am waiting, Mr. Podgers," he said.
"We are all waiting," cried Lady Windermere in her quick, impatient manner. But the palm reader made no reply.
Suddenly, Mr. Podgers dropped Lord Arthur's right hand and took his left hand. He bent down so low to examine it that his eyeglasses seemed almost to touch the palm. For a moment, his face became a white mask of horror, but he soon recovered his composure. He looked up at Lady Windermere and said with a forced smile,
"It is the hand of a charming young man."
"Of course it is," answered Lady Windermere. "But will he be a charming husband? That is what I want to know."
"All charming young men are,"
said Mr. Podgers.
"I don't think a husband should be too fascinating," murmured Lady Jedburgh pensively. "It is so dangerous."
"My dear child, they never are too fascinating," cried Lady Windermere. "But what I want are details. Details are the only things that interest me. What is going to happen to Lord Arthur?"
"Well, within the next few months, Lord Arthur will go on a voyage,
Oh, yes, his honeymoon, of course,
interrupted Lady Windermere.
And lose a relative.
Not his sister, I hope,
said Lady Jedburgh.
Certainly not his sister,
answered Mr. Podgers.
Merely a distant relative.
Well, I am very disappointed, said Lady Windermere. I have absolutely nothing to tell Sybil tomorrow. No one cares about distant relatives these days. They have been out of fashion for years. However, she should have a new black silk dress ready. They are perfect for funerals, you know. And now, let us go to supper.
Lady Windermere said to the group,
The rest of my guests are sure to have eaten everything, but we may find some hot soup.
As everyone left the room, Lord Arthur Savile remained standing by the fireplace. A feeling of terror possessed him. He had a sickening sense that evil was approaching, and hardly heard Lady Windermere when she called him to follow her. He thought of Sybil Merton. The idea that anything could come between them made his eyes fill with tears. It seemed as if he had turned to stone. He had lived the delicate and luxurious life of a young man of fortune, and it had been a life free of preoccupations. For the first time, he had become conscious of the terrible mystery of destiny. It all seemed so monstrous and insane. Was it possible that some secret sin or a blood-red sign of crime was written on his hand in characters that he couldn't read, but that someone else could decipher? Was there no escape possible? Were we no better than chess pieces moved by an unseen power? His reason fought against this idea, and yet he felt that some tragedy was hanging over him. Actors are so fortunate. They can choose whether they will appear in tragedy or in comedy, whether they will laugh or cry. But in real life, it is different. Most men and women are forced to act parts for which they have no qualifications. The world is a stage, but the parts are badly distributed. As Lord Arthur was thinking these dark thoughts, Mr. Podgers entered the room. When he saw the young gentleman, he froze. His fat face became a greenish-yellow colour. They looked at one another, and for a moment there was silence.
The Duchess left one of her gloves here, Lord Arthur, and has asked me to bring it to her,
said Mr. Podgers finally.
Ah, I see it on the sofa. Good evening.
Mr. Podgers, I must insist that you give me a direct answer to the question that I am going to ask you.
Another time, Lord Arthur. The Duchess is anxious to receive her glove. I must go.
You shall not go. The Duchess is in no hurry.
Ladies should not be kept waiting, Lord Arthur,
said Mr. Podgers with a false smile.
They become impatient easily.
The Duchess was of very little importance to Lord Arthur at that moment. He walked across the room to where Mr. Podgers was standing and held his hand out to him.
Tell me what you saw there, he said. Tell me the truth. I must know it. I am not a child.
Mr. Podgers' eyes began to blink quickly, and he moved his weight from foot to foot. His fingers played nervously with his watch chain.
What makes you think that I saw anything more in your hand than what I told you, Lord Arthur?
I know you did. I insist that you tell me what it was. I'll pay you. I'll give you a check for £100.
Guineas?
Said Mr. Podgers at last in a low voice.
Certainly. I will send you a check tomorrow. What is your address?
Permit me to give you my card.
He produced a card from his waistcoat pocket and gave it to Lord Arthur with a low bow.
My hours are from 10 to 4,
murmured Mr. Podgers mechanically,
and I make a reduction for families.
Be quick!" cried Lord Arthur, looking very pale and extending his hand. Mr. Podgers looked nervously round the room and closed the door.
"It will take a little time, Lord Arthur. I suggest that you sit down."
"Be quick, sir!" cried Lord Arthur again, stamping his foot angrily on the floor. Mr. Podgers smiled and took out a small magnifying glass from his breast pocket.
"I am quite ready," he said.